League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Oh, what's good, my man?
Broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We're hanging out in Sweet Scoops on the Pleasure Pier. 2 hours down, one to go on the most interactive sports talk show in town. It's an Ask Them on Anything Friday. You can ask any question or work it into the show. You heard the voice guy say it. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. So when you come in, make sure you go to the left. You register for a chance to win those e-bikes, a $4,000 value. And then get yourself a sweet treat, get a little air conditioning on, because it looks like it's a scorcher outside. But there's no rain, there's a lot of sun out, and hopefully it remains that way. Killer Bees will be here from 3 to 6. So, tonight, it's back on. The Astros had a day off to lick their wounds. They resume the Lone Star Series against the Texas Rangers tonight. It'll be going all the way back to their first meeting, which wasn't until 2001. It'll be meeting number 291. The Rangers lead the all-time series 146 to 144. In the regular season, they lead it 142 to 141. In the postseason, they lead it 4-3, obviously, with that ALCS a couple of years ago. With a sweep, the Astros lead the all-time series, though you're never getting that ALCS back, you're never getting that World Series, which is annoying. Would have been nice if the Astros did anything at home in that series. Alas, earwax. But here we are with Lance McCullers on the hill starting tonight for the Astros. And then after that, you got Framber Valdez, you got Hunter Brown. I mean, you're taking this pretty seriously going into the All-Star break. I did want to get a check on how we're feeling about the Rangers in terms of likability relative to our beloved Astros these days. Because I do feel like they have become largely forgotten, given that they have not lived up to any of the hype that they had going into this year. I mean, it's been rough. Really rough. They are 9.5 games out in the American League West. Their pitching's been good, but like the Astros, their offense hasn't been doing a whole lot. So you wonder, okay, this is going to be a bunch of pitching duels over the weekend. Is the Astros offense going to keep getting going? And I'm wondering if the newest member of the Houston Astros, as next man up continues, Bryce Matthews, who got called up yesterday after a pretty successful time in Sugar Land, where he wasn't quite batting 300, but he was playing pretty well, and I think we were at the point where how much better can you get against AAA pitching at this point, especially in the Pacific Coast League, which isn't exactly the toughest competition. Plus, you got like elevation, so stats are a little bit elevated. But Bryce Matthews on the season is slashing .283, .400, a .476 slugging percentage. He's got 10 homers, 39 runs batted in, and 25 steals, playing mostly second base. I mean, the Astros' second base position has been not very good this year. So at this point, I'm willing to try anything. And given the injuries that we saw them continue to suffer, as soon as Jeremy Pena broke his rib, I thought, you know what? Let's put Bryce Matthews in the show right now. Make it happen. So they finally made it happen. And we will see if he actually is a starter tonight. I mean, considering some of the alternatives are, what, Cooper Hummel and Zach Short? I think he's got a pretty good chance to be back out, to be out there for the first time at Daikin Park. So we continue to see young Astros players make their debut. He might have a chance of staying, too. honestly, on this roster and not getting sent back down to the minors, just given the lack of competition at second base. I know we gave you an Astros update injury-wise earlier in the week. You might forgot that Brendan Rodgers has been dealing with an issue for a while, which has led to the Astros just doing a lot of juggling all season long. I think that to this point, the Astros, I think Tyler Stafford of the Crush City podcast put this out there, despite 93 games and 88 different lineups, they lead the American League West over the Seattle Mariners by 7 games, and they lead the Rangers by 9.5. So that's on deck tonight. The Mariners' loss to the Yankees last night was an all-time choke job. And as I said, I think I said this now months ago. It was definitely weeks ago. I think the Astros have already won the American League West. I know some people are going to say, Paul, you're jinxing them. I don't believe in jinxes, number one. Number two, I mean, they're playing a Yankees team that's not playing particularly well, and yet they were just comedy all of last night. This is a Dodgers team. Excuse me, not a Dodgers team. Thinking about choke artists, getting them confused. This is a Mariners team that was up 5-0 going in to the eighth inning. They had a no-hitter that was broken in the seventh inning. They ultimately lose after giving up 6 runs on an Aaron Judge sacrifice fly. And they became the first team since the 1970s, the Yankees did, to win a game while being no-hit through 7 innings, being down 5-0. The Mariners just continue to find new ways to make history, to bum out their already incredibly depressed fan base, who somehow, some way is loyal. I think they should leave. I think they should leave. They can join us. I know some of you guys won't be so welcoming to them, but they were good people. I liked them when I was up there. Much more than Seahawks fans. Seahawks fans like to smell their own farts a little bit too much. Chaz McCormick theoretically could be back too. He was not in the lineup for the Sugarland Space Cowboys last night. He, in his rehab assignment, has been 0-for-12 with 8 strikeouts. So either that's due to another Astros setback. Does it happen in Sugarland too? Good God. Or perhaps he's going to be called up in the next couple of minutes, hours. Seen nothing new on Yordan. Seen nothing new on Jeremy Pena. So Astros will be shorthanded against the Rangers, but the Rangers have been basically shorthanded voluntarily all season long. That's because they're bad this year, folks. What else is going on the Houston Astros front? Well, there's this, and we have been crushing the Astros, specifically their medical staff and training staff, for how they have handled players recovering from injury. I mean, it really seems like they're just throwing them back out there and hoping for the best, and that they haven't learned from any of the mishaps that we all are very aware of over the last 2 seasons specifically, but if we're really going further back to the last time that Jake Myers was rushed back from a pretty severe shoulder injury and got messed up. Now here we are with Jake Myers, who's got great numbers and theoretically could be an alternative for Julio Rodriguez, who opted out of the All-Star game. Julio Rodriguez, the Mariners center fielder. It is crazy that the Mariners lost last night because Rodriguez had an absolute strike from center field on that sack fly by Aaron Judge, but somehow Anthony Volpe slid in, I'm guessing around Cal Raleigh at home plate. So he's opting out. Maybe he's hurt. Jake Myers is hurt, but can he get an honorary nomination without actually having to go? That would be nice. By the way, no injured list trip for Jake Myers to this point either. But to bring it back to the Astros and all the injuries. Sorry, got off on a tangent there. This is from game notes for the Houston Astros June 17th before their game against the Athletics, the homeless Athletics. All-Star Honors. Major League Baseball announced earlier today the honorary coaches and staff for this year's All-Star Game, July 15th at Truist Park in Atlanta, featuring the inclusion of Astros Major League head athletic trainer Jeremiah Randall on the American League staff. What? I mean, this is wild. And clearly they're not paying attention to what's been going on in our backyard with the Astros and the injuries and the setbacks. But this guy is going to be the head trainer for the American League in the All-Star game next week. Just wild. I saw some people texting in earlier, and I had this same thought. Well, a little Trojan horse in disguise. You got a trainer who perhaps stretches Aaron Judge or some other key American League player the wrong way. Next thing you know, the guy's out. You don't have to face him in the postseason. I mean, that could be a perk. Maybe another team likes him and what he does so much that he gets hired away while he's in Atlanta this coming week. You know? All of those things are on the table, but the training staff, my goodness, it's wild to me that they have not shaken anything up after all of these setbacks. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Coming up next, what should you do this weekend? Your weekend homework. Not as much to go through this week, but there are a couple of TV shows I'm intrigued in. And on top of that, a question for the remainder of the show that I found pretty fun. In honor of Bud Selig moving the Astros to the American League West, which they have been skull-bleeping for years, I have this question. Of all of the major sports figures who have accidentally helped Houston sports, who was on the Mount Rushmore? I'll give you that a little bit later on. 1 hour to go here. Actually, 45 minutes to go here before the Killer Bees take over. We are on Pleasure Pier in Galveston, inside of Sweet Scoops until 6 p.m. You can go register for a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. As soon as you walk in, take a look at the table, sign up, and may the odds ever be in your favor. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier, Galveston, as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We are live at Sweet Scoops on Pleasure Pier. Still sunny, no rain, looking pretty rainy, supposedly, back in the age. But it's a nice day outside. A little humid as it gets. We've been pretty blessed thus far this June and July. Hopefully that keeps up. Maybe the rain is a part of that. I'm no weather expert, but I think it stands to reason that it is. Come on out here and hang out with us, though, if you're in the Galveston area or are coming to Galveston. Killer Bees are going to be hosting the show here next. We saw Not Santa stop by from X. That was cool to finally meet him in person. And if you show up here, you have a chance to register for a pair of brand new e-bikes. Register to win a pair of brand new e-bikes, our grand prize of the summer, from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. The entire summer circuit schedule is at ESPN975.com. I think we're at East River 9 next Friday, which is always a fun place to stop by as well. So, lots of things going on in the world of sports. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's actually been a relatively slow day. And your boy is having a bit of a, you know, a Jordan flu game maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. What I do know is I need something to pump me up to get through the end of the show. And I'm really glad that Sean Mapes thought of my college lord and savior, Tim Tebow, who vanquished Oklahoma in the 2008-2009 national title. And he gave this speech at halftime.
Hey, let's go get in here right now. Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our lives. That's our bad on the first half. It ain't happening. We get the ball. I promise you one thing. We're going to hit somebody, and we're taking it down the field for a touchdown. I guarantee you that.
Guaranteed.
Look at me.
Let's go.
We got 30 minutes.
Let's go.
For the rest of our lives. Let's go.
Lock arms.
Hey.
I'm ready to run through a wall, but I think if I ran into the wall, I would just fall back and get a concussion. But that Tim Tebow speech helped me out a little bit, a little pep in my step. One of the great speeches in the history of the world. Churchill, FDR, Abraham Lincoln, and Tim Tebow. I'm not biased at all. I'm a Florida Gator fan. But that doesn't make me biased. I believe that my college Lord and Savior is just as great a leader as my real Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. In the name of the Tom Brady and of the Tim Tebow, I pray. What do you do? There are a couple of tidbits from the Summer League. I guess people were watching a Summer League game that featured Bronny James. I only was aware of this because Skip Bayless was talking bleep about Bronny. Poor Bronny. Bronny didn't ask for any of this, but his dad named him Bronny, so he's screwed. Like, that's part of it. And also, he got drafted by the team his dad plays for, and a lot of people didn't think he should be drafted. The Lakers always do right by their stars, yada, yada, yada. But there has been a little bit of drama. I guess he went up against Cooper Flagg in that game, too. It was a mixed bag, I saw, per ESPN for Cooper Flagg. But this is the latest news on the Lakers and the future of LeBron. I got to say, and you guys know me, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I think he's one of the best players to ever play the game, but I've always found him to be a little fake and annoying from time to time. You could say the same thing about Tom Brady and some of my favorite players ever. But LeBron's 41, and per Ramona Shelbourne and Brian Windhorst said this as a divorce looms between he and the Lakers. Although, I don't know who's going to trade for him. I don't know who's going to take up that contract that he just opted back into. I think if he wanted to go somewhere that valued him, he should have opted out. Instead, he opted in, so he gets a little bit more money. This report says, LeBron James felt the Lakers didn't fully value everything he'd done while shifting focus to Luka Doncic. James understood the Lakers taking advantage of an opportunity to pivot to the younger superstar. But from James' perspective, sources said, nuance was sometimes lost during the transition. Doncic had never asked to be a Laker. James, for his part, had chosen L.A. Are you serious? Are you serious? There's beef over, hey, I wanted to be a Laker. Luka didn't want to be a Laker. And this is how you repay me, a 41-year-old who you also drafted my son? James, for his part, had chosen L.A. coming in 2018 when the team had missed the playoffs five consecutive seasons, the worst run for the franchise since it moved from Minneapolis, where they won five of their titles that they supposedly claimed 17 of. 2 years later, LeBron had helped deliver a 17th championship in a bubble, but yes, he did deliver a championship to the Lakers. Yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. Look, this report on LeBron, if true, it's very catty. I mean, you're playing with a guy who makes your team better than Anthony Davis did. Like, this is a pretty easy and obvious pill to swallow if you actually want to win. You have somebody who can shoulder the load offensively for you. You want someone who can do that. And guess what? Luka does that. So that means LeBron doesn't have to work all the time. And I get it. LeBron's off to the side sometimes. He's not happy because he's not getting the ball. But, I mean, dude, like you're better with Luka. What are you mad about? You opted into that contract that's going to pay you a lot of money. And while you're still a very good to great player, probably great player still, like, hey, man, yeah. 41. And we're not expecting you to play like 70, 80 games anymore. I mean, we're hoping for 60 now, Sean.
Yeah, it's also that the Lakers, because their new best player on the team is 26 now instead of 41,
yeah,
that they're taking a little bit longer of a view on this. Like, they're not sending out first-round picks to make this year's team better. I think they even floated out there that they're like, yeah, we're kind of saving some of our cap money. We want to stay flexible for next summer build around Luka there, where, understandably, if you're LeBron James, you're like, I don't care about next summer. I'm 41
right.
years old. So I think, I think it's just the first time that LeBron has to, like, reckon with the fact that he's not the guy on his team, not just not the best player on his team anymore, but not the guy that the franchise is kind of, you know, rotating around. He's not, like, the middle part of a team anymore.
But, not to be an a-hole, though, but, I mean, the trade happened the beginning of February.
Yeah.
It's been 5 months. Like, you've had plenty of time to deal with these feelings. And he tried to make it work with Luka, and he deserves credit for that. Like,
yeah,
and I can understand how his ego is upset. Like, he is one of the greatest players to ever play the game, and he did choose to go to the Lakers. But at the same time, man, like, why? I don't even understand why he wants out. Like, if you wanted out, you should have opted out. And, like, is it really that big of a deal to get that extra money when you have all the money that you have as opposed to having control over what you do? You know, like, this is a very difficult trade for the Lakers to pull off. I truly don't understand why he opted in.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest thing. And, like, credit to LeBron, because, like, even if he's felt that way, like, on the court, he was still, like, it's not.
Still great.
Yeah, it's not, like, obvious bad body language, you know, that we've seen from LeBron
before.
No, he's
good with Luka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right with the opt-in thing of, like, dude, you didn't have to opt in for whatever. It's a little over 50. Again, at this point of your career, like, you have enough money, dude. Like, if it really upsets you this much, like, you could have left and taken less to go somewhere else. But it's the thing of, like, well, I want the money and the power and the respect. Like, I want all of it still. And it's like, dude, you're at this point. It's the first time he's really ever had to reckon with, like, this is the first time where, like, teams around the league are like, I'm not sure if we really want, like, to sign up for the LeBron show just because we know that it's so short-term, and it doesn't have the upside that it once did.
I'm with you. So, see what happens, but there's an impasse. Meanwhile, some cute little moves of friendship from ex-Rockets, either given by the Rockets or received from an ex. Did anyone know that Jalen Green had a 10% trade bonus worth $6.9 million? Due to the trade construction, he basically, to go to the Suns, he basically waived $6.4 million in the trade bonus to make the Durant trade happen. I mean, damn. It's
wow.
Pretty cool.
Okay.
Jalen Green cares about the Rockets.
Yeah, solid guy, Jalen Green.
Also, Rockets had a solid to Cam Whitmore. Per ESPN, the Rockets had a lot of offers for Cam Whitmore, but they sent him to the best place for him to, quote, thrive and develop, end quote. How about that? Good guys, the Rockets. And good guys, Jalen Green, you know? Friendship. Friendship is a powerful force that binds us all together.
RIP to the good vibes Rockets. The tunnel fits, the all that. It's like, remember that was the, like, selling point on Rockets?
Oh, my God.
On the Rockets games. It's like, look at these young guys.
Jalen Green is one of the best-dressed players in the NBA, which literally he reposted on his Instagram story, which was something I would have advised against, given what happened against the Warriors, even though, like, I think it's kind of understandable how much he struggled against the Warriors. It is an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask any question at 713-780-3776 to call to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Also on the brand new ESPN Houston app, available on your Apple phone and available on your Android. As far as weekend homework this weekend, I'm just going to give you a couple of things really quickly before we do a fun interactive program for you. It seems that a new Dexter series with Michael C. Hall as the main Dexter is already on Paramount Plus. I'm Dexter till I die. I thought that the Dexter return that featured, I think, Clancy Brown was actually pretty damn good. It wasn't great, but it was good. I thought that Dexter First Blood with Christian Slater was good. So I'll watch this. Also, in theaters, Superman is coming out. I'm curious as to how this one will go. With James Gunn running the show, I'm assuming there will be a little more mirth and comedy. Good. You liked it, AJ?
Yeah, I saw it last night. It's pretty good.
Saw it last night and you enjoyed it. Okay, good. I think Sam's dad gave it a 6.5 to 7. So, it seems like it's a good movie. DC has been constantly disappointing in the movie department for a while. And I guess it's going to be a little more goofy and a little more funny for Superman. And my advice to you, if you just want to check out, don't read all the controversial articles about what the director's saying before the movie comes out, you know? It's a statement about our country as a whole. Calm down, dog. Calm down, okay? And you also got Astros and Rangers the next three nights. A battle for the silver boot. We will see if the Astros can once again retake the lead in the all-time series. Up next, who's on the Mount Rushmore of sports figures who accidentally helped out Houston sports? You get to answer that on the most interactive sports talk show in town. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Yeah. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You can register for a chance of e-bikes when you walk on in to where we're hanging out. You want some sweet treats? Come on in to Sweet Scoops on the Pleasure Pier here in Galveston. It's a nice day outside. We got some air conditioning in here. And you can register for a chance to win a pair of e-bikes from Power On Electric. It's a $4,000 value. How about that? Anyway, guys. What's going on out there? Everyone seems to be watching something. Someone on a roll? I don't know. Anyway. Hey, everybody. We're talking sports. And it's July. It's a slow month. And guess what, guys? You know what slow months mean? It means we resort to bare minimum effort radio. We do. I mean, that's what Ask a Lone Entity Friday's about in the summer. You know, we don't do it as much during football season. But I saw Adam Spillane post this yesterday. I'm a big fan of Adam. I think he does a great job covering especially the Rockets, but also the Astros. He posted this, quote, "The Astros really should do something to honor Bud Selig at some point. Making the move to the American League West, for a discount, by the way, for Jim Crane, is the best thing that could have ever happened to them because, holy crap, the other four teams are dreadful." Correct. First off, the Rangers, who the Astros play for three over the weekend, having a down year. They are 9.5 games back in the American League West, despite an inordinate amount of hype. I mean, they got the absolute hell hyped out of them going into this year. And here they are. Nothing. Also, there's this. There is the Seattle Mariners, who played against the New York Yankees last night. And get this. They had a 5-0 lead late in the seventh inning while throwing a no-hitter. And as they were in the midst of that no-hitter, eventually the Yankees started getting some hits. They would rally to win in extra innings for the first time in nearly, get this, 50 years. A team that won down 5-0 in the seventh inning while getting no hit. The first time that it happened in a long, long time. So, my question to you is, who is on the Mount Rushmore of figures who accidentally helped Houston sports? I posted this on X if you want to respond to it there. Who is on the Mount Rushmore of figures who accidentally helped Houston sports? My list is this. 1, the Houston Oilers leaving, which led to a new stadium for football in town and ownership with more money than the Adams family. So that was nice. 2 on this Mount Rushmore, you got to have 4. The Thunder thinking that they needed to trade James Harden early, despite having just made the NBA Finals. Harden didn't play so well in them. And while I was not the biggest fan of James Harden during his time in town, there's no denying that. I mean, he was one of the best players in the NBA of his time here. I didn't enjoy watching it, but statistically, there is no argument on that front. You've also got this. The NCAA slapping Kelvin Sampson with recruiting violations when he was at Indiana. That was back in 2008. So that was a long time ago. And I think that he ended up at Oklahoma for a cup of coffee after that. But Indiana's a marquee basketball program, and it stands to reason that had he not been essentially forced out, I don't know the win-loss records back in 2008. That was 20 years ago. But it stands to reason that if he had his pick, he would have stayed at Indiana, following in the footsteps of Bobby Knight and, you know, where that program was nearly 20 years ago. But the NCAA slapped him with recruiting violations that were held against him, like, even recently. And it's weird. There's a weird energy that people that recruited for teams that played against Indiana back in the day have for Kelvin Sampson. Like, he's this dirty cheater when he's just doing everything that everyone has ever done in the history of the NCAA. And Indiana cracking down, the NCAA cracking down hard on Kelvin Sampson led to him resigning. And if not for him resigning, I don't know that he ends up being the coach of our beloved Cougs, who are arguably the best college basketball program of the past 5 years. I think there's a very strong argument to be made for that. And then the last one, for my Mount Rushmore of sports figures who accidentally helped out Houston sports. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam and Browns general manager Andrew Berry in the Deshaun Watson trade. The Browns offered the most. The Browns really, I think, bamboozled Watson and everybody else that was vying for his services by giving him that fully guaranteed contract. Nick Caserio gets a draft haul in return, and it helps him lay the foundation for what this team is, which is a very good team, even if last season was a disappointment given the hype going into the year. So that's my Mount Rushmore. What's yours? 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Who is on the Mount Rushmore of sports figures who accidentally helped Houston sports? Michael Schwab responded to this one. This is a good one. Aaron Judge in the postseason.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge in the postseason stinks. And I think he might have had one home run ever against the Astros in his time with the Yankees, but Judge is definitely up there. Harley Dugan responded, shout out to Lovie Smith. There's no take that I've been more proud of than dumping on all the losers who wanted the Houston Texans to lose the last game of the 2022-2023 season against the Indianapolis Colts. You're a loser if you want your team to win so that you get a slightly better lottery ticket to potentially take a guy that's probably not the guy. They had second crack at quarterback. Instead of drafting a quarterback who is me-sized in Bryce Young, and honestly, I probably have an inch and a half on him, they signed a guy. They drafted a guy in C.J. Stroud, who I'm a big fan of, who I think is a film junkie, who's got the size, he's got the mobility, the touch. Lovie Smith helped the Texans out a lot by going for it, which everyone should. Tanking is wrong, especially in football. It's wrong in every sport. It's a giant F you to your fan base. But tanking, specifically in football, where you're just throwing guys into the meat grinder for a full season so you can potentially get a better draft pick, is wrong. And the teams that do it, I love it when they continue to stay the way that they are. I want them to suffer. I want them to be terrible forever. I want to laugh at them. I want to make fun of them and embarrass them when my team plays them. That's how I roll. Sorry, don't try to be a loser and get some sort of welfare bailout because you suck. That's what it is. Tanking is wrong. More people who accidentally helped out Houston sports. This is a good one from Brandon Caldwell. The limo driver who told Hakeem Olajuwon that Houston had a climate similar to Nigeria. That's a great one. Now, Hakeem was taken first overall, correct? So, Sam Bowie second, Michael Jordan third. So it might not have been his call, but staying with Houston long-term, especially when he had a couple of back-and-forths with ownership and the general manager back in the day, there was a trade request in the early 90s. I mean, yeah, you could definitely argue that limo driver helped him out. And, of course, you know, he came to play for the Cougs and play for the Rockets. He is, I think, the most Houston athlete that's ever been, just given that he played for the local school as part of the Phi Slamma Jamma era. And on top of that, I mean, won the only two back-to-back championships in Houston sports history. Unless, I guess you want to count the American Football League. I feel like the Oilers won the first two. Could be wrong on that one. What else do we have here on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday? The sports figures who accidentally helped out Houston sports. Jerry DePoto, the Mariners general manager. Yep, he's going for 54%. I think that was a Mariners fan who put that in there. Michael Jordan, that's a fair one. I mean, listen, he was there for the second time around, but he wasn't there for the first one as the Bulls were in the midst of a three-peat. What else do we have here? Someone put up a Mount Rushmore. This is Turtle Drew 89. Mount Rushmore of sports figures who accidentally helped out Houston sports. You got Deshaun Watson. Alex Cora? Well, I mean, Cora helped out Houston sports when he was here, you know? He definitely did. But, he was certainly convenient cannon fodder so that no Astros player got suspended. By the way, Jeff Luno was on the Crush City podcast with Tyler Stafford and Chandler Rome. I'm going to check that out on the way back. Apparently had some interesting things to say. I'm going to run through them. This is from Chandler Rome. Altuve, yes, was mentioned in the trade conversation once with Dayton Moore, I believe, of the Kansas City Royals. The Bryce Harper deal, we talked about that, the one that fell apart at the last minute. And the Roberto Osuna trade, which Luno now says, if I had to do it over again, would I do it? The answer is no. That's nice to see. That created the most awkward moment in my radio career, the Roberto Osuna trade. Mike and Seth disagreeing on that trade. That was fun. I just sat there while two men yelled at each other, and Mike Meltzer yelled, unbearable, 12 times. And then they both stormed out of studio, and I just said, Mad Radio, we'll be right back. What else do we have here? The sports figures who accidentally helped out Houston sports the most. Emily says Bud Selig deserves a statue in Houston. Eric Helton says Dikembe Mutombo and the Denver Nuggets for beating George Karl's Seattle Supersonics. That's fair. The Sonics were tough to get through for those Rockets. Larry Anderson and the Boston Red Sox. Yes, that's the Jeff Bagwell trade. I can't believe the Red Sox traded for Jeff Bagwell. I was a former Red Sox fan, but that was on brand with who they were as an organization. Diehard fan base, but just idiot owners until the new ones came in, and now the new ones are just taking advantage of the fact that the city is still relatively loyal to a team that does not try, does not put in their best effort. Carolina Panthers for taking Bryce Young and Josh Fields and the Dodgers as part of the Yordan Alvarez trade. That's a good one by Eric Helton. So there you go. It's an Ask a Lot Anything Friday. You can ask any question. I'll work it into the show. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Watson's on there. He definitely helped with good picks. But he was a player for Houston sports. And, I mean, he did win a playoff game, the one against the Buffalo Bills. So Watson did help intentionally at first. It is incredible that they were able to trade him for as much as they got. Frank Reich. Huh, that's an interesting one. I mean, Frank Reich broke the hearts of Houston Oilers fan, perhaps made them not care as much, and that led to people not wanting to pay taxpayer money for a upgraded Astrodome. I saw some person have a rather nonsensical thread on X talking about how the Astrodome could have been something, but it made no sense. And then he was like, yeah, I'm the grandson of Roy Huffines, who I guess built it. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're talking about like how there's no direction on it. Yeah, because no one's going to pay for it. So can we stop? Like, that part of town sucks. If we're going to build a new stadium, like, don't build it there. And don't do anything to the Astrodome. I don't want to go down there for an event in the near future. A couple people are saying Lovie Smith. That's true. What else do we have here? From the 281, the Texans got lucky. The move was to lose. Tanking one more game is not wrong. It's silly not to. No, it is. You're a loser if you think that way. Like, I played sports growing up, and any time that you are intentionally going into a game, the people that are behind you going into that game are not trying to win unless there are extenuating circumstances like you have clinched a playoff seed or something like that. There is no reason to do it. It is wrong and is the behavior of losers, and generally the franchises who tank the most suck the most. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers and what they're dealing with, especially since they enabled Joel Embiid for all of those years to basically never have to get in shape. They made it seem so that Joel Embiid never had expectations on his shoulder. That's what led to Ben Simmons being Ben Simmons. They were so lackadaisical there. Steven Silas level. And that's why that loser juice fermented into the Sixers being one of the biggest disasters as a result of the process. F them. It's wrong. It's wrong to do that to fans. From the 281, Dynamo 1 back-to-back, buddy. Come on now. Sorry, I don't care. I go to Dynamo games, but like I'm not talking about Major League Soccer. I'll say that for Glenn Davis. I feel like ownership has done a pretty terrible job. I will give a shout-out to Brian Chang, a friend who I like a lot. Brian Chang's a good dude. Pitch 25, check it out. But, yeah, like the Dynamo, I think, have done a pretty terrible job the last couple of seasons as far as like just maintaining interest in the franchise. David Culley and Lovie Smith holding it down until D'Amico Ryans. That's a fair one. From the 281, outside of the Lakers, everyone tanks for a little bit. That is true. From the 409, would you rather have Kevin Durant or Jaylen Brown on an Ask a Lot Anything Friday for the same trade and contract? Oh, if I can get Jaylen Brown, you get the long term there. I like it. I'm a sucker for Jaylen Brown, though. I'm a Boston Celtics fan. I grew up rooting for them, and I've always found Jaylen Brown to be the most trustworthy Boston Celtic, even though Jason Tatum's coming up for torn Achilles, is certainly more talented, you know? Brady Aiken, a texter from the 409, the Brady Aiken debacle. That's right, they drafted him. I honestly forget the backstory then. To that, I'll get it on the other side before we get into garbage time. But it led to the pick that landed Alex Bregman. That's true. Yeah, Mark Appel and Brady Aiken, back-to-back first-round picks. By the way, a byproduct of tanking. Sometimes the tanking doesn't get you bleep, you know? For the 281, the guy's clarifying. The only back-to-back championships in Houston system belongs to... Yeah, I'm just saying. I get it. I you know what? I feel bad. I disrespected the Dynamo. I also disrespected the Comets. They won four in a row. Anyway, hey, everybody. How you doing? It's a Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday and ask Alon anything Friday. We're hanging out on Pleasure Pier in Galveston. It's a sunny day, humid day, but we got air conditioning in here. And if you come on inside to the left, oh my goodness, there is a table. And you can register to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. Huzzah! Check out the rest of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit at ESPN975.com.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We're live inside, We're live inside Sweet Scoops on Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Come on in and register for a chance to win a pair of e-bikes from Power On Electrical Bicycle Company worth up to $4,000. It's right on the inside when you get in here. Been cool to see some ESPN Houston listeners. Saw Not Santa from X, one of our most loyal listeners. Shout out to him. I think he said he's going to be coming back for during the Killer Bees. We were talking about tanking. I find tanking reprehensible, this texter asks. I wonder how Boston got the team now. Fair point. Tanking, how are Boston fans feeling these days? But in their defense, they had a bunch of old guys. They traded them, and they got a lot because the Brooklyn Nets were desperate, thinking that getting Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry was going to help them contend. And it certainly was a rough couple of years. But they weren't going out of their way to actively do it. And that's what I find reprehensible about what the Philadelphia 76ers did. Like, just a massive FU to your fans. It's a loyal sports town. And you do that. Like, it's the process. And you had a bunch of, like, online dorks who were buying into it. And look what it led to. That's a fair point. I mean, it was a kind of tanking. I give the Rockets a lot of credit for this. I mean, the last couple of seasons, you could argue, okay, they were tanking. I don't know. I think that James Harden kind of strong-armed them into this position that they were in. And I think one of the most noble things about the Rockets in their history, at least in my lifetime, is that they've always gone for it. You know, they haven't put out a team of complete scrubs. No, they've had some teams that weren't good, but they were competitive. You know, I remember the year where I was running highlights for Joel over in the Texans, and then Rockets flagship, where like they were a fun team, but they weren't good. I think they were the last team out of the playoffs. They had Marcus Camby and Goran Dragic. I don't know. I love that team. I don't know why. Mainly because of Goran Dragic. Paul, you just like white basketball players. Maybe. I don't know. Another text. Our commander-in-chief tanked a few times, and now he's a billionaire. Well, I suppose that's true. Bo Texan, the Wheelhouse Show, talked about the Texans nonstop that brought a worthy promotion to the Killer Bees. Okay. Houston sports figures that accidentally led to greater things for Houston sports. Joel's looking at me with a look. It's accurate. They talked a lot of Texans. The Texans and Texans Live. Texans Radio. Texans. The Texans. Up next, a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
From the 346, ask on anything. More likely to happen, Arch winning a Heisman, Amen Thompson winning Finals MVP. Well, Thompson's probably going to be the best player on the Rockets someday, definitively, but he's got a lot of room to grow on that front. Also, sometimes the NBA Finals MVP is not the best player on their respective team. Remember, we saw that with Andre Iguodala way back in the day during that Warriors Finals victory. So, I'm going to say Arch Manning. I think there's a very good chance he wins it. There's also the Manning Mafia who, in case you don't know, at times has sent people, private investigators, to the homes of people who are looking into allegations against Peyton Manning. Huh. Interesting. Look that up for yourself. What else do we have here on an Ask About Anything Friday before we give you a couple garbage time stories? The Spurs tanked. Yeah, they did. I know. It's BS. The Spurs always get bailed out when they tank. How many McDonald's snack wraps can you eat in 30 minutes? Zero. I will only eat McDonald's apple pie. McDonald's is gross. What do we have? Sorry to any potential McDonald's endorsers, but look at this body. You think I mean McDonald's? Get out of here. I'm not Chad Ochocinco. I don't have that kind of metabolism. California residents who launched fireworks for the 4th of July, tough bleep. You're going to have tickets coming into the in the mail thanks to police drones that were taking note. One resident racked up $100,000 in fines last summer due to illegal fireworks. I really hope that Najee Harris, who apparently blew off his face aesthetically, you know, he has an eye injury that's like a superficial eye injury. I hope that he didn't also get fined. That would suck. You're getting fined and you blew up a firework in your face. Not a big fan of fireworks.
I'm not.
The first time I ever lit a firework, it was a Roman candle, and one of the candles inside launched directly at me. They're supposed to go straight up. And also, we were with some family, and a person who was supposedly a doctor was taking the boxes of the used fireworks, which had a little gunpowder left in them, and tossing them into a bonfire, which was leading to sparkling and mini explosions. I'm out on fireworks. New Hampshire, where I grew up, or near where I grew up, that's where you went to go get fireworks. They were illegal in Massachusetts. But, yes, I guess I'm a soft boy. I don't like fireworks. The Office is getting a spinoff. It starts September 4th. It's going to be called The Paper. That ought to be interesting. Kevin Harlan, the greatest play-by-play broadcaster there is joining Amazon's NBA coverage. Great to see him sticking around, but I would have liked to see him on NBC or on ESPN. He's the number one guy. Like, no offense to Mike Green. He's better than Green. Green's great, but Harlan is, in terms of football and basketball, my number one. What else is going on? The Rockets are collaborating with Whataburger. So we're talking about how the Astros are going to have 713 merch that drops on Sunday, 713 Day. And the Rockets have a Whataburger collaboration. It's like a rocket, and then the fire underneath the rocket is the Whataburger logo. So that's fun. Also, if you are planning a vacation to North Korea in the near future, you might want to watch out because The Economist shared this with us. There's a new resort called Wonsan Kama Beach Resort, and people are saying, don't pack your bags quite yet for North Korea's new resort. Thank you for sharing that with The Economist. It seems self-explanatory. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everyone who tuned in to today's edition of the show, everyone who stopped out on Pleasure Pier here at Sweet Scoops. Keep on coming. The Killer Bees are going to be here for a couple of hours. You'll have a chance to register and win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Company. Check out the entire ESPN Houston Summer Circuit at ESPN975.com. Big thanks to AJ Russ out here. Big thanks to Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. Big thanks to our texters, callers, Twitchers, YouTubers, and appers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.